This is the Bonneville Up to Speed podcast. I'm Kevin Ostie, coming to you from the PRI show here in Indianapolis, actually in the Racing Junk booth, joined by a repeat guest, our good friend, Mr. Wayne Jezel. Wayne, welcome back.
Glad to be here. Busy show.
Yeah. So tell me, how's the show going for you? What's the, you know, is the message from Jezel this year at PRI?
Well, we've been swamped so far for the last day and a half, but we have a lot of new products that we're showing, and there's a lot of interest in that. But in general, the show seems really, really represented well.
Awesome. Now, last time we talked, everybody was getting geared up for Bonneville Speed Week 22, which, as we all know, didn't really happen.
Unfortunately, it did not.
So in your case, you know, you guys were getting geared up with a truck and, you know, support teams and all the rest. What do? Do you just put that whole program on hold for 23, or do you change it or develop differently? Or
well, what we did after we weren't able to go to Bonneville, we went to Arkansas, which has a mile track and a 2 kilometer track. And we just wanted to get some testing done on the engine. We're running the Equal 8 engine. We were able to make a few runs. We went over 200 with it, which is relatively close to what we were looking for. So that test went relatively well. Now what we're going to do is keep working on that engine program. We're going to build probably 3 or 4 of those engines. Currently, right now, we have enough parts for 3, but we want to do a couple of engines. We'll do some dyno testing, and then hopefully we're going to run the truck in the spring with that engine, probably back at Arkansas, just to get a little bit of a shakedown on the engine. And then we'll just start preparing for Bonneville.
Now, the Arkansas event, that's interesting because we always talk about, like, especially for the big streamliners, the only time you can run it is at Bonneville.
Right.
But is the Arkansas event, I guess it's multiple times a year, or how does that work in other schedules?
They usually have 2 or 3 races a year. Okay. And it's a lot of land speed guys go there. You know, typically there's probably more high-end street cars, okay, that are, you know, trying to go 200 or what have you. But there's quite a few real land speed vehicles that go. Just, we've done that from the very beginning. We started back in the early 2000s at Maxton, North Carolina. Then we went to Wilmington, Ohio. But it's just a way to, you know, shake down the engine, transmission, just make sure everything is functioning properly so that when you get to Bonneville, you're pretty much ready to go.
Yeah. You don't want to be finding things out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so mentioning building different versions of the Equal 8, we talked about the Equal 8 before. It's a clean sheet design that, you know, your brother and yourself have kind of come up with. And we've been talking about a land speed application. So we're looking at a different application for the engine?
We are. We will be doing a couple of engines in the near future for Comp Eliminator NHRA racing. We're going to probably run like a B-altered type class, possibly in an altered type car and a pro stock type car for the different altered classes. But we have a couple of things in mind to do that. Probably, I would say in April or May, we would be ready to go with that program.
And so the legality is by displacement and by the type of induction on those, and that's how you can fit in?
Yes. Yeah, there's a couple classes that we'll be able to run, you know, within that rule package that they have.
Gotcha. So how different would that engine be in a drag race situation, you know, than flat out land speed?
Well, basically what we do between the drag racing and Bonneville is we cut the RPM limit down a bit. We really plan on running it at over 11,000 for drag racing, and we'll probably keep it about 9,500 to 10,000 for Bonneville, mainly just to make it easier on the valve springs. That's probably the weakest link of everything. So I think if we just tone that down a little bit, that we'll be okay with that.
Well, of course, a drag race is, you know, a few seconds versus a few minutes, you know.
Right. Yeah. Bonneville's a long run.
Yeah.
When you're wide open throttle for over a minute, it's big difference.
Now the truck has gone through a bunch of different powertrains and evolutions. Are you changing anything else on the rest of the truck, or is it pretty much dialed?
No, it's pretty much the same. We're just gonna run the Equal8 engine now. Actually, just to do a little bit of testing, we want to get Jason Lyne's son Jack some seat time. And while we're still developing the Equal8 engine for that application, we're gonna run. It was a Dodge engine that Penske ran in the NASCAR series. It's called the R6P8, and that was the NASCAR Cup engine. So what we've done now, we've already put it in the truck, and we're going to go to a track just to let Jack drive it, to do some push-offs, do the parachute, just to get used to driving the truck.
Sure.
And that way, we can do that right away. We don't have to wait for more development on the Equal8, and we don't have to put, you know, that much wear and tear on it, because we're kind of limited with how many parts we have right at the moment.
Yeah, you mean you don't have engine bearings for the Equal8 at AutoZone down the street, you know?
Well, some of the parts have just taken so long to get. You know, fortunately, we have several crankshafts that we can deal with, but everything has just taken so much longer to get. Crankshafts, you know, take roughly 6 months. It's just down the line. Everybody's backed up.
Yeah, the supply chain thing, from my understanding, it seems to be loosening up here and there in certain spots, but that's still a thing to contend with for sure.
Well, one thing we need is human capital. We really need some people to operate the machines, whether it's programming or operating the machines. We're fine with machines. We're fine with material. We have plenty of time. If we have to run a second shift, we could, but we just need people to do that.
Interesting. And that's not new, but it's good to hear that you don't need everything. You know,
right.
We got the capacity. Now let's just get the people to do it. You know, from an engine part manufacturer, you have a strong do-it-yourself customer base and a strong professional engine building customer base. How's that looking? A lot of times we're hearing about engine machine shops that are going away and there's fewer and fewer. And, you know, is that a concern for you guys? Or?
Well, I'm not going to say it's a concern, because usually when something goes away, it typically merges with someone. I do realize that, you know, some people go out of business, but there's so many people that are racing out there in different organizations. Unfortunately, if someone goes out, that person will go find somebody to do the work for them.
Yeah.
But it is hard for the smaller shops, you know, to keep going, because the bigger shops, you know, they sometimes get more buying power and they have more staff, handle things quicker, get things done quicker. I've seen it over the years happen, especially in the NASCAR industry. When I first went to North Carolina, I used to go around to probably 35 or 40 shops that all did engine work. And as the years went by, now we're down to a half a dozen, you know, real high-end, do-it-all engine shops. And it's because of either smaller shops going out or being bought up by the bigger shops, or one shop merging with another. So it's been quite a change over the last 20 years.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, the volume of engines is the same, if not more now.
Absolutely.
So in your case, again, being a performance part supplier, you're not so much concerned with the local Napa store on the corner.
No, not at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're typically just a hardcore racing application type parts manufacturer.
Yeah. So on a technical side, you mentioned the valve springs being kind of the weak link, and I think that's true on just about any type of rocker and I was going to say push rod engine, but even cam follower engines, the springs. What's kind of the secret sauce to keep a valve train happy in a performance engine?
Well, what they've come up with years ago was the Spintron. and that's for testing valve train. So you can try different cams, different spring rates, different RPMs, and that pretty much tells you what's going on with the valve spring. So you can change a cam lobe, or you can just change maybe the rocker arm ratio. But there's many things that you can, you know, play with on the Spintron, and that kind of tells you what your limit's going to be on doing the valve spring for life on the valve spring.
You know, the first time I heard a Spintron in action, I couldn't believe it. Because so the Spintron is basically an electric motor that spins an engine with no pistons or rods.
Correct.
It's just the top end and the timing chain and the crank. But it sounds like a running engine.
It does. They make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Especially when the whole valve train is on there. In the rocker arm situation, we've typically only run one cylinder because it's really a rocker arm durability type test for, you know, strength and longevity and flex and what have you. So we don't really get into running a full valve train. We have had people come use our Spintron that have put a whole valve train set up on it so they could really see what the dynamics are of it. And it does change. You can see a big change from running one cylinder to running the whole valve train.
Interesting.
So we typically don't do an awful lot of valve spring, so to say, testing. Ours is mainly for rocker arm durability. And, you know, we can see if the rocker is flexing or, you know, acting a little funny. But typically we use our Spintron for that application.
Well, and that's one of the things you guys are known for is, you know, the rocker arms and the development and the whole thing. When you guys are looking at advancing the rocker technology and some of the valve train componentry, what are we chasing? Is there, you know, everything needs to be lighter, everything seems to need to be stronger and, I guess, easier to manufacture. I mean, when a new version comes out, what's the goal?
Well, you're always chasing the ultimate for strength, reliability, stiffness. Some applications will want to use a steel rocker for the stiffness. Some want aluminum rocker just to have a little bit of a flex in it, so to speak. I'm not saying that the rocker really flexes and bends, but there's just a little give and take there.
A little compliance.
It's a little bit softer on some things, but it's really the application for different engines. But, you know, we're always chasing better materials, better heat treats, lighter designs. We try to make it as light as we can, yet keep the stiffness or rigidity in it. But the target never stops moving.
Yeah, for sure. So you were saying before you're going to try and get the truck out and do the Arkansas run and get that shaken down. And you mentioned Jason Lyon's son, Jack, behind the wheel.
Yes. We're excited about that. Jack is 16. He just got his license earlier this year. He's really helping Jason out in their own shop. He's full steam ahead on operating the CNC machine. He's a really great kid. Well, he went with us to Bonneville 10 years ago when Jason drove the truck. So he was 6 years old, but he was already entrenched with Bonneville because he watched the World's Fastest Indian movie.
Uh-huh.
So he knew all about Bonneville. And over the years, you know, he would go to all the drag races with Jason, and I kept asking him, you know, would you be interested in doing Bonneville? And he said yes. And so we've, you know, kept in touch the whole time. And so I said to Jason, he would have liked to have done something maybe completely on his own, vehicle-wise and engine-wise, but he just doesn't have the time to do that. So I said to Jason, if you want to get involved, we can use the truck. You can work on the Equal 8 engine. We can have Jack drive it, and it'll work out for all of us.
So, yeah, and that's a tremendously generous offer.
Well, you know, it's a really great family. I've known Jason since he came to North Carolina. I think I'm the second person he met when he came to work for Joe Gibbs Racing. And, you know, we've been friends ever since and have a good relationship. So I think it's really going to work out well to have Jack drive the truck.
Yeah, that's going to be super cool. So there are so many people that you guys have been able to help introduce to land speed racing and even get them behind the wheel of the truck. I was chatting with Chris Rashke yesterday, and he got his red hat in the truck, and of course Zach Straits this far away from getting his red hat in the truck.
Hopefully we can close the deal on that one.
yeah. It's just really neat that that you've been able to do that for a lot of people. But what would you say to somebody who is just kind of on their own that is looking to get into this? Where's a good place to start?
Well, there's so many classes at Bonneville. You can go out there, even if you don't have a car that runs the class. If you meet all the safety standards, you can go out there and run. You can run time only. They'll accept that. You don't have to fit a class. And a lot of people just want to go out there to go 200, to say they did that. What some people don't realize is that you just don't go 200 to get your red hat. What you have to do is you have to do two runs over 200 in whatever class you're running. If the record is 210, you have to make two runs over 210 to reset that record. And then that way you'll be able to get the red hat and be in the Bonneville 200 mile an hour club.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there are some classes that there's a record established, but they feel that the record should be higher. So there's a minimum to get in the 200 club in that particular class.
Uh-huh.
The record might be 241, but the minimum for the 200 club might be 250. So if you go two runs over 241, you still don't get in the 200 club. You'd have to go over 200 for two runs over that minimum. So there's a little more to it.
But that's pretty cool because it's not about maintaining, it's about advancing.
Correct.
Yeah, and always pushing that limit. So the 200 club, you know, the name could be a little misleading.
Exactly.
But that also gives, you know, everybody a little more respect for seeing that red hat.
Right. Well, Bucky Hess, who runs a super stock Hemi car, he would love to go do it with us. And he's very good friends with Jason, and Jason does the engines for the car. And Bucky said, I want to go out there and go 200 so I can get my red hat. And I said, well, like I said, there's a little bit more to it than just going 200.
Yeah.
So, but Bucky, I think, is going to come out with us this year. And maybe if we can make that work, you know, we'll try to get that to happen also.
Yeah, well, that's too cool. Wayne, listen, I always appreciate the chance to chat with you, and thanks for kind of supporting our little show and for all the things that you guys do in the performance part side, but being, you know, kind of philanthropists and helping other people get involved in all this. It's really appreciated.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and we're looking forward to the next day and a half for a killer show.
Awesome. Well, we will see you somewhere.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Wayne.
Okay, Kevin. Take care.
And if you like the show and want to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You'll get a magic notice in your email box that there's a new episode. You can always check the scta-bni.org website to get the latest on the schedule of all the races we're talking about. Hope you do that. And I'll chat with you next time. I'm Kevin Oste, and now you are up to speed.